Literature, page 138, exercise 4.
Great Expectations. My parents had died when I was a baby, so I could not remember them. But often, I used to visit the churchyard about a mile from the village to look at their names on the gravestones. My first memory is of sitting on a gravestone in that churchyard one cold, grey December afternoon, looking out at the dark, flat, wild marshes, divided by the black line of the River Thames, and listening to the sound of the sea in the distance.
"Don't say a word," cried a terrible voice, as a man jumped up from among the graves and caught hold of me. "If you shout, I'll kill you."
He was a big man, dressed all in grey, with an iron chain on his leg. His clothes were wet and torn. He looked exhausted and hungry and very fierce. "Don't hurt me, sir," I begged in terror.
"Tell me your name, boy," he said, still holding me. "And show me where you live."
"My name's Pip, sir. I live in the village over there."
"So where are your father and mother?"
he asked. "There, sir," I answered, pointing to their graves.
"I see,"
he said.
"They're dead. Well, who do you live with?"
"With my sister, wife of Joe Gargery, the blacksmith."
"Blacksmith, you say?"
And he looked down at his leg. Then he held me by both arms and stared fiercely into my eyes.
"Now look here. You bring me a file. You know what that is? And you bring me some food. If you don't, or if you tell anyone about me, I'll break your arms."
"I promise I'll do it, sir," I answered. I was badly frightened, and my whole body was trembling.
"You see,"
he continued, smiling unpleasantly,
"I travel with a young man, a friend of mine, who beats young boys. He'll find you wherever you are, and he'll beat you too. So bring the file and the food to that wooden shelter over there early tomorrow. Remember, you promised."
I watched him turn and walk with difficulty across the marshes, the chain hanging around his leg. Then I ran home. My sister, Mrs. Jo Gargery, was not a beautiful woman, being tall and thin with black hair and eyes and a very red face. She clearly felt that Joe and I caused her trouble, and she frequently complained about it.
"Where have you been, you young monkey?" she shouted.
"Only to the churchyard," I whispered.
"Churchyard? If I hadn't brought you up, you'd be in the churchyard with our parents," she cried.
For the rest of the evening, I thought of nothing but the stranger on the marshes. Just before I went to bed, we heard the sound of a big gun on the marshes. "Was that a gun, Joe?" I asked.
"Ah," said Joe, "another prisoner has escaped. One got away last night. They always fire the gun when one escapes."
"Who fires the gun?" I asked. Joe shook his head to warn me.
"Too many questions," frowned my sister. "If you must know, it's the men in the prison ships who fire the gun."
"I wonder who is on the prison ships and why?" I asked. This was too much for Mrs. Joe.
"Listen, my boy, I didn't bring you up to annoy people. There are ships on the river which are used as prisons. People who steal and murder are put in the prison ships, and they stay there for years sometimes. And they always begin their life of crime by asking too many questions. Now go to bed!
I could not sleep that night. As soon as there was light in the sky outside, I got up and went quietly down to the kitchen. I stole some milk, bread, cheese, and a big meat pie, hoping that nobody would notice what was missing. I took a file from Joe's toolbox and ran out onto the marshes. The mist was so thick that I could not see anything. Although I knew my way to the shelter very well, I almost got lost this time. I was near it when I saw a man sitting on the ground, half asleep. I went up and touched his shoulder. He jumped up, and it was the wrong man. He was dressed in grey too, and had an iron chain on his leg. He ran away into the mist. It's the young man, I thought. When I arrived at the shelter, I found the right man. He looked so cold and hungry that I felt sorry for him. Trembling violently, he swallowed the milk and ate the food like a hunted animal, looking around him all the time for danger.
You're sure you didn't tell anyone?
No, sir. I'm glad you're enjoying the food, sir.
Thank you, my boy. You've been good to a poor man.
But I'm afraid there won't be any left for him.
Him? Who's that?
My friend stopped in the middle of eating. The young man who travels with you.
Oh, him,
he replied, smiling.
He doesn't want any food.
I thought he looked rather hungry, I answered. He stared at me in great surprise.
Looked? When?
Just now. Over there. I found him half asleep, and I thought it was you. He was dressed like you, and I was anxious to express this politely. He had the same reason for wanting to borrow a file.
Then I did hear them fire the gun last night. Show me where this man went. I'll find him and I'll finish with him. That villain. Give me the file first.
I was afraid of him now that he was angry again. I must go home, I said. He did not seem to hear, so I left him filing away at his iron chain. Halfway home, I stopped to listen, and I could still hear the sound of the file.